Hey, take your Bibles this morning and turn to Acts chapter 24. It's found on 1737 in the Pew Bible. And we got, we've been watching God fulfill His promise to Paul. You know? And he said to Paul, just as you preach the gospel in Jerusalem, so shall you preach the gospel in Rome. And we know that there were those 40 men who had taken an oath that they weren't going to eat anything until basically Paul was dead. So God had provided an escort for Paul out of Jerusalem with 470 soldiers. And he stands now before Felix, the governor, as Jews accuse him of being a pest and a troublemaker. I sort of like that, but they said, we found this guy to be a troublemaker over in verse 5. We found this guy to be a troublemaker stirring up riots among the Jews. And so Paul gets to defend himself. Hey, I wasn't doing anything of that sort when they found me. And yet there was those who wanted to basically tear me apart that day. So I'm here in front of you, Felix, basically telling you what I did in Jerusalem. Now let's skip down. We skip down to verse 22. Verse down 22. Then Felix, now he's the governor of the Judea at that time. Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, keep that in mind, adjourned the proceedings. He says, when Lysias, the commander, comes, I will decide your case. In order for the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his need. Okay? So Paul's sort of given, sometimes they feel like it was a house arrest. You know, if you look at the commentaries and look at the Bible encyclopedias about the prisons of that day, it was not a place you'd want to go. And they were dark. They were basically people had to come and feed you. Your friends had to come and feed you because they didn't take care of you very well. And so remember over in Philippians, Paul says, my dear friend Onesimus, who you sent to take care of my needs. So they would often do that for prisoners in that day. Well, Paul is kept under guard, but allowed to have friends to visit him and take care of his needs. So we want to, our sermon today is why people end up in hell. Why do people end up in hell? And we want to look at what Felix does here. Verse 24, we start. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, that's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. Lord, we want to look at this passage of scripture that you've given to us. And we want to see here that here is a man who had the golden opportunity to trust in Christ. But he turned you away and was looking for a more convenient time. Lord, we pray that you would speak to each part here, that they would examine themselves to see whether they're in the faith and whether they are also saying they have a lot of time. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would speak to us this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Well, once again, people end up in hell because they think they will get to heaven because they know something about Jesus. It says here that Felix, who was well acquainted with the way. Now, once again, that's what they called followers of Jesus Christ at that time. it wasn't the Baptist church. It was called the Way. Okay? And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are part of the Way. And so, I believe it came out of Jesus told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going. And once again, you gotta love Doubting Thomas. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus comes back and says, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I think that's where the emphasis was, that Jesus is the way, and we become followers of the way. And you know, so think about, you know, are you walking, are you walking and living your life in accordance with the teachings of Jesus Christ? Are you following in his ways? But some people will end up in hell because they think they will get to heaven because they know something about Jesus. Felix knew about the way. I'm not sure how he learned it. Maybe he was in Caesarea. There were other believers in Caesarea. Maybe he had other people tell him, hey, this is what it means to be a follower of the way. Maybe he saw different people and saw the difference that Jesus Christ made in their life. But somehow he knew about the things of Jesus. Now, doesn't say how he knew, but beware of having a handful of facts about Jesus. I always tell people, you could win Bible trivia and still go to hell. You know, you can know all the facts. You know, and once again, I say this kindly, but I always fear, like some of my young people here tonight, I always fear when the young people will start telling me what they know about Jesus. Or I'll ask a question. What do you need to do to get to heaven? And they rip off the question, rip off the answer. You need to believe that Jesus died on the cross. And I'm always concerned that they're just telling me what they want me to hear. Yeah. They know the answers. But has that affected their life? Do they also believe that? Have they entered into a relationship with Christ? So Felix can know a lot of facts about Jesus and still be lost. James 2:19 says, you believe there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and they shudder. Right? So to know about is a lot of facts. To walk with involves having a fellowship and a relationship with Christ. Well, he sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. It says he did this with Drusilla, his wife. Now, the International Bible Encyclopedia says, here's a phrase, the Beta text gives the rendering, Drusilla, the wife of Felix, a Jewess, asked to see Paul and to hear the word. The fact that Drusilla was a Jewess explains her curiosity. There are some people, and it says here that Paul preaches, basically, Paul, and they listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ. My next point is, there will be people in hell who have listened to a lot of sermons. They've listened to a lot of sermons. There will be people in hell who have heard the importance of having faith in Christ. Now, once again, in this church, you always know there's two camps. You're born in this camp. You're born in sin. You're born under the judgment of God because you were born a sinner. I also know that I have said wrong things, thought wrong things, have done wrong things in my life. And I know something about everybody here. we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all deserve the judgment of God because of our sin. And if you stay in this camp, you're heading to hell. But faith in Christ brings you over to another camp. And faith in Christ is trusting in what Jesus did on the cross for you. He paid the penalty for Brian Cuddy's sin. He paid the penalty for your sin. I believe he paid the penalty for this world's sin. But it's only good, you know, once again, he paid the penalty while I was still a sinner. But it's only good if I'm willing to accept what he did for me. And so someplace in your life, I would say you have to do business with God. And so Paul is preaching about faith in Christ. You got to place your faith in Christ. And this sometimes can get a, what does it mean? What does it mean for me to place my faith in Christ? They always
say the easiest way to remember it is just take the word faith, F-A-I-T-H.
Forsaking all, I trust Him. Good way to remember faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Okay? I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm trusting that He died on the cross for me. I'm taking a hold of that. I'm keeping a hold of that. I'm emphasizing the importance of knowing Him as my Savior and Lord. And so I'm trying,
as I've shared with you many times before.
It would be one thing for me to say, Mrs. Cuddy, I love you, but it doesn't mean a whole lot if I'm holding hands with the meter lady, too. And think about what's going on. Jesus, I love you. What are you holding on to over here? And there's all kinds of, that's what we talked about in Sunday school class this morning. Judah was holding on to hands with the gods of the stone and the wood. And so may God sort of show us our lives and say, yes, I'm trusting you, Lord. And the Lord would say, then you can't be holding on to anybody else. There will be people in hell who have heard the importance of having faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus seems to have told Drusilla that she needed to believe that Jesus was the Christ. She's a Jewess. And the Jews, they weren't accepting that. They believed that Jesus was the criminal who deserved to die on that cross. But then 50 days later, there's the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit comes and all of a sudden Peter says, hey, 50 days ago you put Jesus on the cross, but I want to tell you that Jesus is the Christ. And a whole bunch of them said, oh baby, what have we done? What have we done? We've been looking for this Christ all our lives. We've been told about this Christ since we've been this high as a Jewish little boy or girl. And now we have crucified the Christ. What should we do? And Peter tells him, repent. Repent. And be baptized. Identify yourself with Jesus Christ. And so I think he's telling Drusilla these same things. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Paul... He goes on a little bit more, though. He, as Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. Now, wow. That was some sermon, folks. That was some sermon, because all of a sudden, as Paul started to preach about righteousness, about self-restraint, about the judgment to come, he must have been stomping on Felix's toes. And what's that mean? The word righteousness comes from the root word, which means straightness. It refers to a state that conforms to God's standards. I always try to share it this way. God has given us his standard, and we're supposed to come in line with his word instead of living out like this. And so somehow, as Paul started to preach, he started to talk about the standard of righteousness. God says we're supposed to be holy as he is holy. And all of a sudden I start to realize, and the Spirit of God starts to convict me, that I'm not living my life the way God has called me to, but I'm out here trying to do what I want to do. And all of a sudden I'm convicted that I'm not righteous. I'm unrighteous. I'm walking in my own ways instead of the ways of Christ. So I don't know what Paul probably, he knew. He knew a lot about Drusilla and Felix. Drusilla, guess who? Drusilla was a looker, man. She was one beautiful woman. She had been married to another king, and Felix seduced her and got her to be his wife. All right? Now, I don't know what Paul said that day, but he may have said the words that Jesus said. It has been written that if anyone divorces his wife, he must give her a certificate of divorcement. For anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries the divorced woman becomes an adulterer. And I don't know if Paul preached about what Jesus did on the mountain. I know one of the ones that always catch all of us guys, because I'm not the only weird one here, okay? Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, Jesus says, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And probably over the years, we've all been guilty of that one way or another. Now, ladies, I don't know how you're wired. I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, but I think there's as much sensual and sexual tensions on females' part as well. So we need to realize, I don't know where Paul, but Paul started to talk about righteousness, and then he talked about self-control or self-restraint. Guess what? We have a problem in that area in our lives. Yeah, Brian Cuddy has a problem with that area in his life. Yeah? We can always talk about self. I know certain things I'm supposed to do, you know? But all of a sudden, I always say, my wife just got diagnosed with higher sugar. And so, you know, she's trying to watch the diet. And I'm just trying to help her out by eating all the sweet things in the house. You know, I just try to take care of all those things. You know, I really did good Wednesday night with candy bars. I kept them away from her pretty good, you know. But you know what? I know how it's supposed to be if I want to try to lose some of these pounds, which I need to do. I know, and the words you hear everyone say, it can't just be a diet. It needs to be a lifestyle. A life change. You hear those things. And that's what it is when you come to know Christ. It's not just a Sunday experience. It's a lifestyle. It's a life change. And I think Paul, he's preaching about righteousness, and he's preaching about self-control.
And the last thing he starts to preach about, judgment to come. And he started to tell Drusilla, started to tell them, he says, there will be people in hell who have rejected righteousness and live for self. We sing a hymn in our book. It's supposed to be sung this way. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. People who are heading this way in their life sing it differently. Have my own way, Lord. Have my own way. I really don't care what your word has to say. And we need to realize that we're going to be held accountable someday in front of a holy, righteous judge. Probably the passage of scripture that we all should think about, you know, this one's found in Revelation chapter 20. Let me just read it to you. You've heard it different times. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. The death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, once again, probably the best way for me ever to illustrate that is to take a couple books. It says here they were judged according to what they had done written in the books. And so God knows my life. God knows your life. And I'm gonna be held accountable someday. But the Bible says there was another book. Even a more important book. And that was called the Book of Life. And if your name was not found in the Book of Life, the Bible says you were cast into the lake of fire. There's a lot of good people who have a lot of good things in these books. But their name has never been found over here. They've never embraced Christ as Savior. They've never placed their faith in Christ. They're lost. And the beautiful thing is, God is still adding entries. God's still adding entries. Come on to me, he would say to anybody in that camp. Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest for your soul. So the opportunity is still there for us to be a part of this. Well, why do people go to hell? Probably because of the last one. Felix was afraid. It's good to be afraid. Is it good to scare you that you're going to go to hell someday if you don't do anything about it? If it gets you to embrace Christ as Savior, I'd say, yes, it's worth it. But Felix says these words, Paul, go your way. Go your way. I'll call for you at a more convenient time. Guess what? There's a lot of people who have said, I've got a lot of time to make that decision. I've got a lot of time. I'm just a teenager. I'm just young. People live till they're 85. I'm only 14. I got lots of time. No one knows. No one knows. We're but a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes away. If God is knocking at your heart's door today, and I think He still knocks at heart's door, I pray that you're willing to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've said wrong things. I've done wrong things. But I do believe that you died on the cross for me. And Lord, I want you to come into my life. And it's my heart's desire to walk in righteousness and to realize there's a coming judgment someday. And I want to be able to stand before you, not in my own merits, but in the merits of Jesus Christ who died in my place. And that's what you and I are supposed to be holding on to. That's what faith in Christ means. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Help us. May you pull the spiritual mirror down in front of our heart. Help us to examine ourselves to see where we stand with you. And we pray this morning that if there be a person who is still over here in the camp of sin, that your Spirit would convict them and that they would be, you know, maybe they think they're in the other camp, but they're out of line with the righteousness of God. They're out of kilter with self-restraint. And they're not fearing the day they will stand before you. Spirit of God, work in their heart this morning. May they surrender their heart to you and become yours and wholly yours. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you. Oh, I always like this hymn chorus. 329.